Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. You know, it's tough at this time of year when you're trying to think of what in the world am I going to get everybody that I have to buy gifts for? Friends, family, coworkers? I wish there was something local that I could buy that was really wonderful and said Vermont, but wasn't too expensive, but was maybe a little bit quirky, kind of fun. Or maybe you're a maker and you think, I've got this great thing that I make. I have a wonderful product. How in the world could I get it out to people who need it? I wish there was a way to maybe sell myself, maybe just for a second or two to tell people about this wonderful product I make. Well, we have a solution for you. Today, Vermont Edition has both constituencies covered. We are pairing gift givers with gift makers, and we're inviting you to share what you make, what you love, what you covet that is made in Vermont. We have a ton of suggestions already. So to get you in the right mindset, let me just read a few of them. Bill in Morristown says, well, first we have to define made in Vermont. As someone in retail and tourism, I see a lot of products that claim to be made in Vermont, but many are products created with materials from other locations and simply assembled by someone in Vermont. Is that truly a Vermont product? Bill, I hear you, but bah humbug. Today we are just sharing the joy of Vermont-made products, and listeners, we trust you. If you say it's made in Vermont, we're going to take you at your word today. Lara says, we call this art, and she sent a picture, vitrified velocity. Two Vermont ladies shoot chunks of wet clay with a .22 caliber rifle, then fire it up in a wood firing kiln for amazing results. No two pieces the same. Looking for some really excellent artwork? There you go. Nate says, we love Andrew Pierce bowls. Finely crafted bowls, cutting boards, and plates. Andrew is Simon Pierce's son. Bo Muller-Moore with eatmorekale.com says, my micro business is still thriving because of Vermonters. Nothing says a gift from Vermont better than an Eat More Kale t-shirt and other items on my website. Let's get right into it. Nicole Goulette is an artist and now owner and manager of the Holiday Craft Shop at University Mall in Burlington. She's on the line with us first today. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing? This is your time of year.
Yes, it is. My busy time of year.
Well, thank you for taking a few minutes with us. So you own this seasonal shop, has about 70 different makers. Any themes of what you're seeing from Vermont makers?
We have everything from handmade jewelry to candles, birdhouses, pottery, just about all gourmet foods, just about anything that you can imagine.
So if I'm the kind of person who likes to come in and wander around and sample things, do I get to sample the food at your shop or do I just have to eat them with my eyes until I buy them?
We do have some taste testings. Arthur's Fault, which is... They have dressings and a few different lines of items. They have tastings from time to time. I think they will have one next week. And we have book signings and we have all sorts of different things. Yep.
Are you a maker yourself?
I am.
What do you make?
I make jewelry and I make candle holders out of white birch trees. That are already down. We don't cut any trees down. You know, I don't want to get any hate mail. they're donated. They're trees that are already down. We have a lovely variety over in the shop.
So what do you like about running this shop? I mean, this is your busy season, so I assume that some of that is fun and certainly, you know, part of making a living and making a profit, but it's also stressful. So what's so fun about having this, you know, feature of Vermont shop that's just up for a few months?
Yeah, well, people look for us year after year because we, you know, we have a lot of repeat customers. And with having 70 artists in there, the artists depend on this for their income. So that's a really good feeling to be able to help them out so that they can provide for their families, throughout the year. And when you shop here, you're, of course, buying local and help making mortgages and car payments and childcare. And so that's that's really nice to keep it local.
You're open through the end of the year, is that right? People can come find you through December?
Yeah, only through December 26th. We're closed after that, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking a moment of your busy time right now to share some of what you do. Nicole Goulette is an artist and now owner and manager of the Vermont Holiday Craft Shop at University Mall in Burlington. Nicole, good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you so much. Take care. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. We're talking about made in Vermont products, all kinds of things. You guys are amazing, and you're making me feel so inadequate. I mean, really, all of the things that you make and do and sell. Sarah and Martin emailed in to say, we may be a little biased, but we think that our lawn game, V King, is the perfect Vermont gift. It's V colon King. V King is based on a centuries-old Swedish Viking game that combines all of your favorite aspects of bocce, cornhole, and horseshoes into a beautifully designed wooden yard game. We handcraft each set from northern hardwoods in our Shelburne workshop. Our website is playvking.com. Kind of a wistful gift to give here as we see a winter snowstorm, but wonderful to think about lawns. Laura says the perfect Spirit of Vermont gift is right on Church Street in Burlington, across from the entrance of the Burlington Town Center. My parents have a local family-owned jewelry store, Designers Circle and Vintage Jewelers. It showcases jewelry made by Vermont artists and designers from across the country. One of my favorite pieces my dad makes is a Green Mountain ring. I have a silver one that I wear when living outside the country, and it's always comforting to see the green mountains around my finger when everything else around me is foreign. Let's go to Drew, who's calling in from Manchester. Hi, Drew. Are you a maker, a product creator, a something doer?
All the above, I would say. I am a studio glass blower here in Manchester, and we offer all sorts of gift things, obviously, traditional Christmas ornaments and candy canes, but I think one of the coolest things you could do for people during the holidays is give them an experience, and more than just giving them stuff. And one of the things I offer is classes to come and make your own glass. And so people could come and make their own stuff, have that experience, and then if need be, they can go ahead and give it as gifts themselves. How made in Vermont is that?
But here's the thing, Drew. If I were to take one class with the idea that I'm going to give my mom something beautiful that I've made, is it going to be one of those gifts where my mom thinks it's beautiful because it comes from her dear special child and not because it's actually beautiful? Like, should I really be going and buying something else and just keeping it for myself? Or can you actually make a beautiful product in one class?
Oh, my gosh, the way our classes are geared, people make the most beautiful things. And if you looked at the comments on our Facebook page, you would see all the gorgeous stuff that people make. You could absolutely come make your own stuff. Your mom would be thrilled. And I'll tell you what, for you personally, my treat, come on in, and NPR can have that experience, and you'd know for yourself.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Drew, remind us, what's your glassblowing workshop called?
It's Manchester Hot Glass here in Manchester Center, Vermont.
All right. You've sold me. Sounds great. My mom better watch out. Lynette is calling in from Greensboro Bend. Hi, Lynette. What are you up to?
Hi there.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, everybody knows that the best beer and the best cheese in the world come from Greensboro.
Mm.
But so does the best smoked seafood in the world.
What?
Yep. Exactly. That's why I'm calling. We are Pears Smoked of Vermont, and Pears is the Norwegian for Peter, so it's P-E-R. And we smoke Faroe Island salmon, Scottish steelhead trout, Icelandic char. We do halibut wrapped in bacon, and then my job is to make a fish spread, smoked calamari dip, which we call our bacon of the sea dip, and I also make a caper and lemon cream cheese to serve on crackers with the fish.
What time should I be over?
Yeah, exactly. we're a mom and pop, so we aren't everywhere, but we do have on Pears Smoked with two S's, PearsSmoked.com. You can find all the places, all the retail stores that we're in the Northeast Kingdom and the Burlington area and the Warren Waitsfield area. And we hope to be open here at the Smoke Room, where the prices are a little better during the holidays, and we do ship.
Lynette, it sounds wonderful. Thanks for telling us about it. So it's pears, not like, you know, the fruit pears, but like the Norwegian and Swedish Peter. Lynette, thank you so much. Sounds delicious. Really appreciate hearing from you. We're talking today about things that are made in Vermont, and again, hearing from so many of you. I think maybe all 623,000 Vermonters will be calling in or writing in during today's show, because everybody apparently makes something. And many of you sell them, too, which is such a wonderful thing. Lucian Avery is a self-employed blacksmith in Hardwick and is on the line with us now. Lucian, nice to talk with you.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So you're a blacksmith, but I understand that you actually started smithing because you wanted to make your own garden tools, which sounds to me like a very labor-intensive way to garden.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But sometimes more work is more fun, right?
So what do you make?
So as far as garden tools go, I mostly make trowels. So garden trowels, you know, little spades. And what I do is I actually make them out of old springs. You know those springs you see on cars or trucks that look kind of like slinkies?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I take those and I cut them up. And I can forge out the blade shape out of those. And those have a little extra carbon in them, so that makes the blade really tough. And then I take and I turn the handles, and I have most of the handles lately have been out of a tree that fell down here in Hardwick where my shop is. And so I turn them out of cherry, and then I burn the handles onto the tang.
Huh. Sound beautiful. Are you working on the craftsmanship and the beauty of them as well as the utility?
Yeah, definitely. For me, I think the functional part and the aesthetic part is important to have both of those. Yeah.
So why go from making your own tools to then making things for other people and selling them, and also making custom tools and custom items?
Yeah, actually, most of my work is custom work, and I'm a small one person business, and so I can cater to people who want custom tools, things that they can't find other places. And it's, you know, when I started blacksmithing, I wanted to make these tools, but then people just quickly started asking me to make all kinds of different things. And so I've made a lot of other things over the years, you know, from door hardware, thumb latches and strap hinges. But I've continued making tools, and I've been making more of them lately. So I make, not only the trowels, but I also make a lot of, lately been making a lot of carving axes for people, you know, other makers, which I get a really kick out of. I like to contact other makers and see what they're making. And so by making these, the axes, it allows me to, be part of what somebody else is creating.
Well, it sounds like you're also pretty magnanimous in that realm. And one of the things that you think people could do, sort of in the realm of glass blowing, is to spread the knowledge and have others get into smithing. So how does one do that?
Yeah, there are actually a bunch of different places. I teach some out of my shop, as a lot of craftspeople do. But I also teach at some different schools. There's a school, the two that I teach at have classes at lined up this year are at the Adirondack Folk School, which is just outside of Vermont. It's over in Lake Luzerne, New York. And they have a large lineup of all kinds of different craft classes if people are interested in that. And then there's another place called Sanborn Mills, which is just outside of Vermont over in New Hampshire, that has a pretty long lineup of blacksmith classes and some other stuff too. And then, but if you want to stay in Vermont, there's a place in Vergennes called the Lake Champlain Maritime Museum, and they have a great lineup of blacksmith classes and specific knife making classes too. I was looking at their website the other day.
Yeah, that's one of my secret fantasies, is to make my own knives. So you've gotten me inspired. Lucian, thank you very much for telling us a little bit about what you do and how to spread the love and learn our own smithing techniques.
All right, great. Thank you.
Lucian Avery is a blacksmith in Hardwick. He sells things under his eponymous website, lucianaveryblacksmith.com. George emailed in to say, I live in Woodbury, and I'm a second-generation Windsor chair maker. My father, David Sawyer, is recognized as an influential teacher and artisan of traditional Windsor chair making. I make all of our chairs by hand using traditional hand tools and joinery, using mostly hardwoods off our family land. To me, making these chairs and building them to last for generations is what Vermont is all about. Hannah says, here's a plug for my Made in Vermont fine craft product, Sky Like Snow, my one-of-a-kind art hats made from a local alpaca and wool blend. They're not only made by me in Vermont, but the materials are from the Vermont landscape. So there we go, from our listener who says, what are the materials made from and where are they produced? So Hannah says, made from the Vermont landscape. I use natural dyes that I grow and forage and fiber produced from Vermont sheep and alpaca farms. Let's go now to Marie Booten, who makes snowshoes with her husband Armand from their Williamstown dairy farm. They've been making traditional wood and rawhide snowshoes since 1987. Marie, it's nice to talk with you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, and I'm picturing that classic wooden snowshoe. How close am I to what you're making?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a wooden frame with traditional rawhide lacing.
So why, when you can get these high-tech, high-performance, light snowshoes that look snazzy, why do people still like the classic?
The traditional wooden snowshoe is very different than the aluminum ones that you see in the stores. The traditional snowshoe typically is a little bigger in size, so what that's doing is it helps to keep you up on the snow better. Because you buy a snowshoe according to your weight.
Mm-hmm.
So the snowshoe, it spreads your weight out, and so it provides flotation, keeps you up on the snow. And typically, myself, I like to just head out my back door where there is no trail, make my own trail, and so these snowshoes are just better suited for deep snow.
So if you are making trail, you're going to want your snowshoes.
Well, they work, you know, the other snowshoes work as well, but these are just really traditional snowshoes. They're quiet, and people just love them.
Marie, you're so sweet. You're not even going to badmouth the competitors, even when I say you're going to want your snowshoes. I'm really curious to hear about your method, because from what I understand, you get whole rawhides and you make your snowshoes and stretch them out of these cowskins that you're getting. Can you talk a little bit about how you do that?
Okay, so when we buy rawhide, it is actually a side of a cow. So what they've done is they've taken the hair off the outside and the fat off the inside. So it is rawhide. It's not tanned or preserved in any way like leather is. So I take that hide and you soak it in water, and I cut it out by hand. I cut it into the strips that will be used on the snowshoe. And because it is rawhide, it needs, once it's on the shoe and it's dried down, it needs to be waterproofed. So you put a coat of varnish on it, and that's typically what they've always done. We like, you know, we still use the traditional rawhide. The frames of the snowshoe are made with white ash, which is a hardwood, but it's lightweight. It has a very close grain, and it's easily bent. So this is what traditionally they would use for snowshoes. And these, at the beginning, the white ash logs came right off our farm. And we sawed them up on the farm sawmill, and, you know, it was all made right here.
Well, it sounds wonderful, and I love picturing them, and I love, again, that idea of something that is so classic also being so utilitarian and still useful today. Marie Booten makes snowshoes with her husband Armand from their Williamstown dairy farm. We have a link to Booten Snowshoes at vpr.net. Marie, thank you so much for telling me about them.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to hear so many made in Vermont things. Bill says, please mention the Vermont State Craft Centers like Artisan's Hand in Montpelier, Frog Hollow in Burlington, The Vault in Springfield, Collective in Woodstock, and Northeast Kingdom Artisans Guild in St. Johnsbury. Purchases from state craft centers support Vermont's vibrant craft scene. Another shop, Ashley in Winooski, says, I'm a Vermont maker and manager of the shop Birdfolk Collective in Winooski. I make and sell woven wall hangings, baby blankets, accessories, and hand-stamped cards, and go by the name Wit and Woven. Now we are a handmade shop serving work from over 50 Vermont makers. Gino says, Vermont Elderberry is an agricultural startup based in Putney. It's a small farm that turns locally grown berries into great immunity-boosting tonics as well as jams. Check out their Facebook page. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking about all kinds of things that are made in Vermont. Great suggestions to help you out if you're stuck on some holiday giving ideas. And we're hearing from a lot of creative and inventive Vermonters. You can share your favorite product, either one you make yourself or maybe one that you just love. Call 800-639-2211 or post them on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. We're starting a list there, and you may have to scroll through and see all the comments and get inspired yourself either to buy or maybe to become a maker if you're not one yet. We are going to spend a little time now looking at local culinary delights. Amanda emailed in to say Champlain Valley Creamery in Middlebury makes artisan organic cheeses. What's more Vermont than that? Their Champlain Valley Triple Cream is a brie-like rich holiday treat. Derek says, love my Loose Farm hemp honey. Wendy in Springfield says, the sourdough rye bread made by Baba, a Louis bakery in Chester. My mother used to travel a long way to buy this bread before the bakery moved to Chester. It's still my favorite bread of all time. It's a Vermont treasure. There's nothing like it that I've found, and wherever I bring it as a house gift, it is enthusiastically received. Joining me in the studio for a few minutes now is Suzanne Podheiser, a food writer with 7 Days. She's also a chef and farmer who's grown her own food and slaughtered her own animals right on the farm. Suzanne, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio with us.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here, Jane.
So we've already heard from some makers and eaters about what they like. What about for you? What themes do you see in Vermont culinary makers that are either emerging or just really good?
Well, I think one thing that's particularly interesting right now is the distillery industry. I think there are a lot of emerging distillers who are making Vermont gin, they're making vodka, they're making whiskey, and that's been really fun to explore. And of course, those beverages make wonderful gifts.
When you say fun to explore, so are you a spirit drinker? You like spirits?
I do, yes.
So what do you like? Which ones, you know, I mean, I won't make you pick favorites, but you know, there are several Vermont go-tos that I really love. I'm a big fan of the Tomcat.
Mm-hmm. The Bar Hill.
Yes, made by Bar Hill. It's just really beautiful. It's a gin, but it's barrel-aged and has a nice sort of golden color. What about for you?
I also like the Bar Hill gin. The kind of honey tone is really nice. And yeah, I think that there's a new distillery that I found recently called Silo, and they're located in Windsor, Vermont. They use 100% Vermont-grown grain, so that's something that I've been really excited about recently. I like their focus on Vermont products.
Well, hold that thought. Let's talk to the CEO of Silo Distillery in Windsor, Peter Gilson, who's on the line with us. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
So you have a fan in Suzanne. What's so great about your products, your drinks?
Well, I'm particularly proud. I'm an eighth generation Vermonter, and when we started this business, we're going on our fifth year now. We really wanted to make sure that we did everything in house, and so all the manufacturing is done at the distillery in Windsor, which is at Artisans Park across the parking lot from Harpoon, and we source all of our grains and the lion's share of our botanicals that go into our products entirely from Vermont. We also are happy to now be getting barrels that are made by two guys up in the, I think they're in the Richmond area. we get our malted barley from Peterson Malts up in Moncton. So it's really nice to be able to, you know, have the raw materials in our backyard and put them to good use, making great products.
Now, I know this is not true, but for the sake of argument, you know, you can hear, especially maybe somebody who doesn't, isn't a connoisseur of spirits say, you know, a vodka is a vodka is a vodka. Why should I get Silo vodka? You know, what makes it special? Because often, you know, the Vermont products do come at a premium because there's an economy of scale and there's a lot of craftsmanship. So what's special about, say, your vodka?
Well, you know, the whole meaning of craft is really exactly that. I mean, first of all, we're sourcing the great grains from one farm. It's a single source provider for all of our grains, whether it be corn or rye, and that's the Grembowitz Farm in North Clarendon, Vermont. Each, you know, delivery is a little bit different. They're never exactly the same. And really, you know, it becomes the variations in the grain, as well as the skill of our distiller, Chris Maggiolo, who is just, you know, an exceptional addition to Silo and has been with us for a few years now. So he carefully watches over the still and makes the cuts, which are called hearts, which is the sweet spot, if you will, of the distillation process, so that we're getting the very best of the best. So you're getting, you know, great Vermont grains, and you're getting a careful, watchful eye in terms of the manufacturing process.
And do you think I can taste all of that work in my highball glass?
You know, I like to have people, and if you come to the distillery where you can purchase the product, I like to have people taste everything without any mixes in it, because I think that that's the best way to really showcase your product. And, you know, our vodkas, our whiskeys, they stand on their own. So I think that's the best way to do it. So I wouldn't encourage mixing as a rule.
Yeah. So, but is ice okay? Are you okay with on the
ice? Yeah, ice
okay.
is good.
All right, good. Peter Gilson is CEO of Silo Distillery in Windsor, where, as he said, you can go and have a taste for yourself. Peter, thanks for talking with us.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. More culinary and food and drink products coming in. Laura with Green Mountain Girls Farm says, it's so often a double or triple win when folks gift Vermont-made products. It makes for happy receivers, supports local farms and small businesses, and sends a needed jolt into our local economy. As gifters, we love to give local food products like Lightfoot Farms Maple Fruit Jams, Brigham Farms Maple Popcorn, and any of Sobremesa's great krauts and other ferments. To go with the food, Two Potters have amazing pottery from their gorgeous self-built wood-fired kiln. And that's not lowercase Two Potters. That's uppercase. They're called Two Potters. I follow them on Instagram. Lovely little things with birds on them that are especially just really pretty. Doug with Montpelier Vineyard says Montpelier Vineyard started selling wine today. It's available at the Hunger Mountain Co-op in Montpelier. All of our wines are organic with no sulfites added. For the last 10 years, our farming and growing principles have followed 100% organic. Going forward with our 2017 harvest, all vintages will be labeled with a certified organic label. Doug, happy birthday to Montpelier Vineyards. And Janet with Kingdom Provisions says, here's a made in Vermont gift idea. Kingdom Provisions is Vermont's only meal kit delivery service that sources local and regional farm fresh ingredients so customers can prepare priced right, hearty homemade dinners. We made our business to satisfy customer cravings for local food, and we make mealtime extra enticing by delivering all the fresh ingredients free to our customers' doors. We package local and regionally crafted specialty foods so fans of local food can enjoy the highest form of comfort at the end of the day. Suzanne Podheiser, Peter Gilson was talking to us about all of the craft that goes into the work at Silo Distilleries, and that seems to be true across the board for locally made products, especially small-scale ones. And there is that price premium, but do you feel like you can taste that craft when you're, you know, dipping into a local jam or drinking a local beer?
I do. I think that the quality of the product in the beginning, the raw ingredients definitely come through in the final product. So another example of that is one of the neighbors of Silo Distillery at Artisans Park, Blake Hill Preserves. And the makers there are using a lot of Vermont fruits. They're using Vermont flowers and berries, and they're making these incredible jams and marmalades. They make special products that are geared towards pairing with Vermont cheeses, and all of these things, you can really taste the craft in those. I think that mass-produced stuff loses a little bit in the process, so if you can afford it, buying those special Vermont products, especially at this time of year, is really great.
Blake Hill makes, or at least made, I haven't had it in a while, an apple rhubarb chutney that is so good. And I've tried to recreate it myself with fennel and my own rhubarb and local apples. And it's good, but it's not quite as good as Blake Hill.
I've been getting their spiced plum port and anise product, and that is made specifically to pair with Bailey Hayes and blue cheese. So perfect combination.
Well, could you talk a little bit more about cheese? Because this really is a Vermont specialty, too, that is recognized around the world.
Of course. So I think, you know, making a cheese plate for a holiday dinner is a perfect accompaniment to all of the rest of the things that you're serving. But you can also gift cheese. And one of the really fun ways to gift cheese is by getting somebody a membership to the Daedalus Wine Shop Cheese Club. So for $25 a month, they get a selection of cheeses from around the world, and they can kind of try things and figure out what they like and become smarter cheese consumers. In addition to that, of course, you can put together your own collection of Vermont cheeses. There are so many creameries to choose from. And one great way to find them is to go to the Mad River Taste Place, and that's in Waitsfield. They represent almost all of Vermont's cheesemakers, and they also have tons of other artisan products. So you can go there, you can try things, and then you can kind of pull together the perfect gift for the people on your list, depending on what you know that they like.
Yeah, I often travel to Maine for Thanksgiving, and so making a dish for Thanksgiving is always difficult with the travel, but I usually am tasked with bringing the cheese course, and so it's, you know, five or six different Vermont cheeses, and there's something for everyone, from the pickiest cheese eater to the most adventurous in Vermont local cheeses.
Absolutely. I mean, cheddar is, you can't really go wrong with cheddar. Kids love it. Everybody loves it. So when in doubt, buy some Vermont cheddar.
Yes, that's always off to the side for those who are less adventurous, at least. We got a tweet from Shane who says, Dunk's maple rum with some house-made ginger beer. Yum, yum. Kurt with Run Amok Maple says, what's more Vermont than maple syrup? At Run Amok Maple in Cambridge, we are changing the way people use and think about maple syrup with an innovative line of barrel-aged, smoked, and infused maple syrups designed to be used as a culinary ingredient in everything from cocktails and desserts to glazes and salad dressings. We are a new twist on an iconic Vermont product. Bobby says, I love the True North granola made in Brattleboro, a small business begun by former educators. The maple syrup that sweetens it is from Vermont, too. They also have a nice collection put together for a gift. Kira says, this year our family decided to add Icelandic sheep to our backyard farm, both for maintaining our pasture and for meat. The farm we bought our registered Icelandic sheep from, Stark Hollow Farm in Danville, also raises the sheep for fiber, meat, and pelts. We've decided to give our family and friends lamb cuts and lamb or pork sausage products from Stark Hollow. Not only do they taste divine, but the compassion and knowledge farmers Laura and V put into raising these heritage breeds is faultless. Let's go to Paul, who's calling in from Concord. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind or plate or gift-giving palette?
Well, it's actually, I want to put a plug in for my neighbor in Concord, Vermont. She's a woman who started a business making soaps and other beauty products about 23 years ago, which actually took her out of near homelessness. It's quite an amazing story. And the business is Jean Elizabeth's Beauty and Body Basics, and it's sometimes also called Herbal Harmony, and they specialize in pH-balanced handmade soaps, all natural, great insect repellents that I use all the time, including a tick insect repellent, natural, so no nasty chemicals in them, therapeutic salves and sprays, and a whole bunch of other things. So I just wanted to give her a plug. Her website is jesoap.com. And I hope if people are looking for presents that they'll keep her in mind. And also, talking about Vermont products, everybody knows these, I think, would have to put a plug in for Nutty Steph's and Redhead Bakery.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for sharing that and for sharing your neighbor's wonderful gifts and, you know, also keeping in mind that herbs can be used for more than food. I appreciate that. Suzanne Podheiser is a food writer with 7 Days. She's been with us here talking about food, and I wish we could talk about food all hour, but we're moving on to other products as well. Suzanne, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Jen.
Just a few more here. Jen says, Green Mountain Distillers Organic Maple Liqueur is made with local Vermont organic maple syrup, makes fabulous maple Manhattans and old fashions, and is great in hot chocolate, too. The distillers just bottled off a 2-year-old oak-aged vanilla-infused version that is to die for. It's available after the 16th at the distillery only. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Today, we're looking at all kinds of things that are made in Vermont and hearing from so many of you who are crafty, thrifty, creative, and practical. We have looked at a lot of things, but let's take a moment to share some things made for or maybe by the youngest Vermonters. Kate in Reigate says, my candidate for best Vermont gift is a copy of A Christmas Like Helen's, written by Natalie Kinsey Warnock and illustrated by Mary Azarian. It describes the sights, sounds, scents, and tastes of farm life in the early 20th century Vermont. It leaves readers young and old wishing that they too could experience a Christmas like Helen's. And Amy says, I thought I would share a product that organically grew out of my role as a science specialist at Salisbury Community School. Naturally Literate is a booklet made to inspire people of all ages to get to know their natural environment just a little bit better. It offers lists of 10 to 20 species of animals and plants to help people identify and name them to become more naturally literate. Through a GoFundMe campaign, I'm able to get classroom sets to schools for $2 per book, and they're also being sold in bookstores at Echo, Montshire, and Phoenix bookstores in Rutland, as well as Vermont Bookstore in Middlebury and Flying Pig Bookstore in Shelburne. They would make great teachers signature gifts or great stocking stuffers for any aged person. And let's turn to Jennifer Hale while we're talking about literary things for kids. She owns Bear Pond Books in Stowe. Hi, Jennifer. Nice to talk with you.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So we just heard from two people who have kids' books to recommend, but I understand you also really want to talk about your store's showcase of children's books by local authors. Give us a few.
Well, the one that definitely comes to mind are John and Jennifer Churchman from Essex, Vermont. They reside at Moonrise Farm, and they have a three-book series right now. And the first book in the series is called Sheep Over, and it actually made the New York Times bestseller picture book list in 2016. They write about their farm animals and how they bring joy to everyone's lives. The first book, Sheep Over, is about an orphan lamb that's named Sweet Pea. She becomes very sick, and through the help of Farmer John and other farm friends, she recovers, and her farm friends have a sheep over celebration for her. The next book in the series is called Brave Little Finn. This is about the lamb Finn that was raised right inside their farmhouse. And this little lamb isn't as big and strong as the other animals on the farm. So they take care of this lamb. And when the time comes to venture outside, Farmer John and the friends once again help, and this lamb learns to be brave and mighty. And the most recent book in the series is called A Farm for Maisie, and this is about Maisie Grace, the sheepdog puppy that arrives on the farm, and she's very excited to learn about all the different animals and what they do there. And she discovers with her new friends what her new job is to be, which of course is to become a sheepdog. So we are very happy to have these books in the store. They are actually coming. John Churchman will be here with a furry friend on Saturday from 1 to 3 to do a signing and have other kids that can come in the store and meet one of the furry friends.
Oh, how wonderful. I mean, especially for kids, not just a signing, but actually getting to meet an animal.
Yes.
That's such a great suggestion, Jennifer, and we're getting so many in here, but I really appreciate it. And you're the owner of Bear Pond Books in Stowe. I know it was just one suggestion, and you've got so many in your store, but
we
thank you for
do.
Offering it. I appreciate it,
yes.
And appreciate your
yes.
time.
Thank you.
More to come here. We're talking about Vermont products. Let's get another kid idea in here, because gifting for kids is often difficult. Patrick Slater is a toy maker at his family-owned Vermont Wood Toy Factory in Charlotte. Patrick, nice to have you on the program.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So this is actually a fairly new-to-you endeavor. How did you learn how to make wooden toys?
It was kind of by accident. It was born out of a lot of sleepless nights. I had... After about 30 years working in IT at mostly at banks, I was laid off and had a lot of sleepless nights worrying about where I was going to find my next job. And in order to distract myself, I gave myself a challenge to see if I could carve a spiral in a wooden dowel. So I spent a couple nights just thinking about that and designing a router jig in my head to cut the spiral. And then after about a day of putting those ideas on a piece of paper, and then about a month of tinkering in the wood shop between the interviews, I managed to create a spiral in a 2-inch dowel. Once that was done, I didn't know what to do with it, and so I started thinking about that and figured if I could get a ball bit in there and create a circular groove in that spiral, I could actually make a marble run. And showed it to some friends, and they said, well, why don't you sell it just like that? And I said, nobody's going to buy this. Ended up putting it on Etsy, and people started buying it. So the toy business took off.
Well, let me ask you, so your shop is called Vermont Wood Toy Factory. Is factory a glorified or aspirational name? Because I understand you enlist your whole family in getting these toys out, and it's sort of a small family business.
Yeah, it's just my family working in the business. And I guess the ultimate dream when I started dreaming about the business was to really, you know, create the factory and, you know, take advantage of the Vermont brand like the Teddy Bear Factory did and others. And so maybe a 5-year plan, maybe further down the road. I'd like to execute something where someone can actually come to the factory and really experience the creation of the toys. Hmm. Because a lot of the stuff that we do are, you know, real curiosities. They're with the whimsical, and people can't really appreciate them until you get the toy in front of them. So I think it would be a great opportunity to be able to provide tours so people could watch the toys being made.
Do you have a favorite toy if people are out shopping and looking for something for their kid, a nice wooden made in Vermont product?
My favorite toy was the first toy that I made, and that was the marvelous wooden spiral. And it's hard to explain. It's much like a rain stick, the traditional rain stick. And then as you turn it over, you can hear the marbles race from the top to the bottom.
Hmm.
But unlike the rain stick, you can actually have the visual experience as well, because you can see the marbles whirl around. And then you have the tactile sensation, because you can feel the centrifugal force as the marbles whirl round and round. So to me, that's my favorite. The most popular toy that I sell is called the Mother-in-Law, and it's a mechanical art toy that takes advantage of an Archimedes screw in the center. And as the screw turns, it raises marbles up both sides of two spirals. And as they get to the top, they'll spiral down on either side.
It sounds very cool. Yeah.
But you have to really see them to enjoy them.
Well, it sounds wonderful. And listeners, if you're interested, Patrick's shop is called the Vermont Wood Toy Factory. It's in Charlotte. Patrick Slater, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to hear so many people making such cool things. Mariana says a great little place tucked away in Hinesburg is the studio of the Holzer Handbook Bindery. You can find handbound journals and photo albums, or bring in a favorite book like a children's book or your grandmother's cookbook or an old family Bible and have it restored. Let's go to Miranda, who's calling in from Bridgewater. Hi, Miranda. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi. What do you make?
I'm a potter. My name is Miranda Thomas, and I came to Vermont in 1983 and started off Simon Pierce's pottery there, and then met my husband again, Charles Shackleton. We went to art college together in England, and we decided we really wanted to create two workshops of our own where we would train and make a place that is like a sanctuary for people who really want to make things by hand. And it's a very rare thing to train and to be in business. We, over the last 30 years, this is our 30th year, we've trained easily 100 craftsmen in making pots and furniture.
And it sounds wonderful.
We're incredibly proud of them. And what in today's technical world is getting more and more difficult. And
well, Miranda, you say more difficult, but also we're hearing from so many people today who make such wonderful things. And as I said, I wish I had time to get everybody, because it does feel to me like it's 623,000 Vermonters who all make something really interesting and unique and wonderful. And if you have something that you make and you haven't been on the show, you haven't managed to get on, please, I encourage you to go to vpr.net, click on Vermont Edition, share your product there. Maybe you don't even make something, but you just have something wonderful that you love that you'd love to tell us about. It's a great way to get inspired for gifts, or frankly, to get inspired for jobs, or, you know, third jobs, second jobs, maybe crafting that you'd like to do on the side. Such wonderful things that people are making. I'll read just a few more here. Molly says, we are a local family farm located in Kirby, Vermont, Everett Springs Farm. We make maple syrup, which we think is the quintessential made-in-Vermont gift for the holiday season. We also have a beautiful handmade boxed gift set of quarts of maple syrup. Our new product this season is our own quarter-barrel maple syrup in its own gift box. And Alice says, one great place to buy original artwork is the Front Gallery at 6 Berry Street in Montpelier, a collective of 16 local artists. Listeners, share your thoughts at vpr.net, and thanks to all of you for an inspiring hour of ingenuity and work ethic.